College experience didn't seem to help much last night in the NBA draft. The National Basketball Association picked its newest players at Madison Square Garden in New York, and a high school gymnasium might have been a more appropriate location. A record 8 of the 30 players selected in the draft's first round were high school seniors. That was twice as many as college seniors taken. Joining us now, Stefan Fatsis of the Wall Street Journal. Stefan, the baby boom continues in the NBA.
It was the fourth year in a row that the top pick in the draft didn't play a second of college basketball. Before this year's first pick, Dwight Howard, who came out of Atlanta, we had two high schoolers and Yao Ming of China. Now, this Howard kid seems like he's a stand-up young man and a potentially good player. Looks like Kevin Garnett, very tall, very strong, 6'11". But you never know. Most of the real quality high school picks have wound up contributing. Some of them not for a long time. They're going to sit at the end of the bench for a while and develop in the NBA.
The second pick in the draft was Emeka Okafor, who did complete his college education and did it in 3 years, I believe, and won a national championship for the University of Connecticut while he was at it. He could barely contain his frustration that a high school kid was taken ahead of him.
Now, he appeared kind of shocked and a little disappointed, but think about him compared to Jameer Nelson, who was the player of the year in college basketball last season. For St. Joseph's, he led the team on a wonderful Cinderella run to the final 8 in the NCAA basketball tournament. He was taken 20th, and among the high school players taken ahead of him was a kid named Sebastian Telfair out of Brooklyn, who a lot of scouts had discounted, even though he already had a shoe deal from Adidas. What's changed is that NBA teams are looking at these players for their potential. College seniors are discounted in some way, partly because they're older and they missed those 2 or 3 years that they could have been able to develop under the tutelage of NBA coaches. And you have a better idea of whether they'll project to be starters or stars in the NBA. That pushes them down in the draft.
The first round picks were announced by NBA Commissioner David Stern. That's his job. But in theory, he's against the idea of drafting all these kids.
Yeah, he is. He'd like to see an age limit of 20 for the NBA. I mean, in effect, there's an age limit now in the NBA, 18 years old. And he says 2 more years won't hurt anybody. But what does hurt by allowing high school seniors and college freshmen even to come in is that it sends the wrong message to other athletes out there that they think they can make it to the NBA and succeed. It also does dilute college basketball to some degree, though it's open to debate whether it really is a detriment to the college game.
There are people who are so pro-college basketball that they see a couple of dozen players who won't be playing next season, underclassmen who are leaving for pro ball, high school players who are skipping college. And I guess they feel that if the NCAA tournament no longer represents the highest level of competition of 19- and 20-year-olds in the country, then college basketball is being terribly hurt by this phenomenon. Is it?
I think it's being hurt to some degree, because if you add up the number of players that leave over the course of 2 or 3 years, which is what we're really talking about, yes, the best teams are not going to have these great players, and the schools that we see in the Final 8 and the Final 4 of the NCAA tournament are not as good as they could be. Does the average fan notice that difference? Probably not a whole lot. But what you do lose is name recognition. You lose the player who has developed in the public's eye over 2 or 3 years and becomes a legitimate star. On the other hand, college basketball is mostly about the old school tie. It's about the name on the jersey. I don't see the NCAA struggling to fill its seats during its tournament or being forced to give back its $6 billion in TV revenue.
Thank you, Stefan.
Thanks, Robert.
Stefan Fatsis of the Wall Street Journal, who talks with us Fridays about sports and the business of sports.